From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Kurdish-led Syrian forces try to take back Raqqa. Kurdish-led Syrian forces, backed by U.S. power, have launched an offensive to gain control of Raqqa, the northern Syrian city overrun by Islamic State in 2014. U.S. Special Envoy Brett McKirk says the vanguard of the forces entering Raqqa are ethnic Arabs.
We want a force that ultimately liberates Raqqa that is primarily from the local area, Arabs from the area. And so we have trained many of these fighters, and that force will continue to grow as we get to the subsequent phases of the campaign.
U.S. defense officials have indicated the Raqqa campaign would overlap with the assault on IS fighters in Mosul. Turkey's main Kurdish party, or HDP, has announced it is withdrawing from parliament after arrests of 9 of its own lawmakers. Emerson College assistant professor Yasser Munif calls it a dangerous escalation of the crackdown by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan since the July coup attempt.
The two co-chair of the HDP, the People's Democratic Party, who represent almost 12 or 13% of the parliament in Turkey, are now in prison, in addition to 13 others. And Erdogan is basically trying to undermine any kind of opposition to his government.
The HDP stands accused by the Erdogan government of financing and supporting an armed Kurdish insurgency, which it denies. An American citizen being held in Yemen has been released and evacuated. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry welcomed the news of the release of Waliad Yusuf Pitts Luckman, recognizing it as a positive gesture by the Houthi rebels. Luckman's wife said her husband had been in Yemen teaching English and was detained in April of 2015. This is VOA News. The director of the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, James Comey, has told Congress recent emails they have acquired do not warrant any action by the FBI against Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton for using a private computer system when she was Secretary of State. In the meantime, Clinton and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump have been campaigning almost nonstop. Trump took issue during a campaign stop in the state of Michigan with the nation's political establishment, which he says has devastated the U.S. jobs market.
We're going to stop the jobs from going to Mexico and China and all over the world. We will make Michigan into the manufacturing hub of the world once again, and no politician will do that. They don't have a clue.
Clinton spoke at a rally in the state of Ohio.
I know there's a lot of frustration and even anger in this election season. I see it. I hear it. Sometimes, you know, I'm the subject of it. I get it. But anger is not a plan. Anger is not going to get us new jobs with rising incomes that will create a strong, thriving middle class.
The election is tomorrow. Clinton leads Trump in many national polls. Now, the U.S. presidential race is sparking some keen interest among young Ugandan politicos. Fierce discussion on social media, packed debate venues, and election night parties have highlighted a culture of young Ugandans who feel intricately connected to the U.S. election. Elizabeth Paula reports from Kampala.
Grace Abajo plans to spend the U.S. election night writing furiously until the polls close. A prominent blogger and founder of the Team Hillary Uganda Coalition, he says American politics warrants global participation.
So as a Ugandan and as a person who has so much interest in Hillary, as trying to sell my idea to the world, to Americans especially, most of the funding here, we get it from the United States. Makes so many Ugandans like me interested in what happens in America.
Abajo says the Clinton versus Trump debate in Uganda has ended friendships within his social circle and revealed a growing divide between liberal and conservative views in Uganda. Elizabeth Pala for VOA News, Kampala.
Supporters on both sides agree that just months after Uganda's own contentious presidential race, the U.S. election has helped recapture the energy of youth voters in Uganda. Janet Reno, the first woman to serve as U.S. Attorney General, died early today. She was 78 years of age and died from complications of Parkinson's disease. A former Miami prosecutor, she served for 8 years under President Bill Clinton, and she went back to Florida after serving.
That's the latest world news from VOA.